Welcome back to Bible Curious. I'm so excited about today's guest. We're talking to Dimitri Moraitis. He is the co-founder and co-spiritual director of the Spiritual Arts Institute. And he is an international bestseller of the books Change Your Aura, Change Your Life, Communing with the Divine, Karma and Reincarnation, The Healing Power of Your Aura, and their newest book, Heaven and Your Spiritual Evolution. These are so many topics that we want to dive into, all with the twist of finding God. So welcome to the show, Dimitri.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Of course. So I know that a mission that you're on is teaching people how to find God in the 21st century. I want to know your testimony and how you found God.
Well, you know, I was thinking of an interesting story. You know, almost a century ago, when there was the Russian Revolution, you know, in Russia, and it was a crazy time. And the Russian writer Solzhenitsyn evidently had interviewed people that lived at that time, and some of the peasants said, "Well, this is all happening because people forgot about God."
Mm.
And it's an interesting thing in society, you know, when you think, well, we live in this modern world now. We're thinking about atoms and subatomic particles and all this. And, well, how does God fit into that? Is that an old antiquated idea that has nothing to do with the modern world? And of course, that's the furthest thing from the truth. But we've gotten in this material mindset where we're trying to find the meaning of life without including the source of life. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're going to have these anxieties and frustrations. Now, my background, I'm Greek Orthodox, you know, but we were kind of raised, I won't say religiously, both my parents were from Greece. And there, the church, you know, there's an island in Greece. There's more little chapels in there than there are houses. You know, it's a very religious country. But we were brought up more creative, and my father was a doctor and, you know, scientist. So I was more on the artistic side, and I was going to start a career in showbiz and movie making and all of that. But I was having these, at the time, I was just calling them my inspiration moments. And they got so strong that I had a profound spiritual awakening. I call it sort of my Saul in the road to Damascus moment. But at first, I didn't quite realize what it was. And then when I heard the word metaphysics, I dived right in. And about a year later, I met who was going to be my teacher, Barbara, you know, and she helped put language to what I was experiencing. But right from the beginning, you know, she included God in everything. Mm-hmm. This was not like a New Ager that was thinking, you know, oh, let's just talk about angels, but without talking about the divines. Right away, and interestingly enough, one of the things I appreciated, well, she happened to be Greek Orthodox too. Her father was actually a priest, a Greek Orthodox priest, and a builder of churches. So the family would go around the country and he'd build the church, get the congregation going, the diocese would send somewhere else. So with her, when I started, she started teaching me some things about the Bible from sort of a metaphysical point of view. And suddenly the whole book came alive in a way it never had before for me. I always appreciated it, but it's almost like I understood the inner keys, or started to. And it got me in this lifelong journey of studying metaphysics, but always with this sort of God-centered approach. And in a sense, yes, completely right. It's about, you know, God is, you know, God isn't like apart from life, right? God is integrated in everything. So it doesn't mean, oh, if I believe in God, I don't have to do anything else, or I don't have to be responsible. I don't have to. It's just the opposite of that. It means now there is an accountability. The things we do really do matter. It does make a difference. And whether you're, you know, wherever you are on the scale, whether you're an atheist or a devout soul, you still are here. You know, we call Earth the schoolhouse. We're here to learn our lessons. We're not here forever. We all know that. We have a start date and we'll have an end date. So it's really how we spend the time that we have. That's what really matters.
That's beautiful. And I love that you combine the biblical with the metaphysical. Can you tell me a little bit about those the two?
Okay, well, I'm really glad you're asking this, because one of the things people ask us is, well, where'd you get these teachings? Well, of course, Barbara's extremely clairvoyant, but we didn't make these ideas up. They're part of a tradition. So the tradition we're part of is called the Kingdom of Light teachings, And it can go back to the ancient Hebrew mystics, to the time of Abraham, when the whole, you know, and our outlook and philosophy, the Torah and the Tanakh and the New Testament, it's all part of the same story. I know religions kind of break it up into their own sections, but in our point of view, it's one beautiful stream, and that every genuine religious practice has a mystical root. Those that started it were mystics in the greatest sense of the word, and it branched out into two different parts, the religious and the more metaphysical. Now, the ancient Greeks had a slightly different terminology of this. They called it the exoteric work, those that are meant for the more general public, and the esoteric work, more the select few. But even in the Bible, it talks about, well, there's milk for the babes and meat for the strong, just meaning wherever you are in the journey, you can benefit. But, you know, if you're ready for calculus, that's different than if you're ready for algebra. You know, this is different levels of engagement, but it's all part of the same practice.
Okay, so there are parts in the Bible that speak about mysticism as being against God, and, you know, the sorcery and the astrologers. And so a lot of Christians believe this is very anti-God to worship these other things. So how do you reckon that?
Well, first of all, it's not a matter of worship, and we're not talking about sorcery. Mysticism is the opposite of sorcery.
Okay, Can you tell us that? Yeah. That's, what's the, like, maybe even describing, like, what is the difference between, like, metaphysics, sorcery, mysticism? Like, how are you defining metaphysics?
Okay, you're going to the deep end of the swimming pool. I love that. No shortcut here. The ancient philosopher Pythagoras, in those days, if you were considered, let's say, a prophet, you know, we've heard about Moses as a prophet, you know, Elijah as a prophet. And when we think of them, those pronouncing, oh, no, you're sinning. That's in the ancients, that's not what a prophet meant. A prophet literally means one who knows. But to know means you have a direct connection to the divine. Doesn't mean you're more special than somebody else, but you have built the conscious bridge to the higher so that you can communicate in a very direct way, not only through faith and belief, but through actual experience. Because in metaphysics, the whole idea is faith is not an end unto itself. It's meant to lead to knowing. Now, those that have not reached that place of knowing, Pythagoras would call them the philosophers, those who seek to know. So in a religious world, we are essentially seeking to know more. We are trying to get closer to the divine. But there are those who have crossed that bridge. Now, where metaphysics may differ from some current religious beliefs is some of the traditions say, well, the age of the prophets are gone. The book is closed. There are no more modern-day prophets. Those are over. But that's simply not true. No matter how inspired a book may be, you cannot contain God in anything written by man, no matter how inspired it is. Everything has to be fresh and inspired. Just look at science. If we had to say, no, we can only do the science of 2,000 years ago, where would we be today? Spirituality is a living, we call it a living tradition that is breathing and living. Now, the challenge is some people can misuse their gifts. And if they misuse them, it does turn into sorcery, and that is an evil. But that's completely different from mysticism, the prophetic work that is the foundation of all the writings that are being given.
Yeah, and I think that was something that I always wondered about, because if Christians are saying that psychics, that's all evil, but I'm like, what's the difference between a psychic and a prophet? It's just that a prophet is hearing the message from God, whereas a psychic is hearing it from any witch spirit or any, you know.
That's an interesting combination. So I wouldn't use the word evil. I think you have to be careful to overly simplify, you know, yes, you're this, you're that. It's not right. Black and white. So yes, we are actually all psychic. All of us are.
Yes.
We all have that psychic sense within us. Some have attuned it more than others, and they can actually, you know, some can tell you, oh, I know what you had for breakfast this morning, Amberlee. You know, I can psychically tune into that, right? So, but the question is that spiritual? So what if you can do that? Is that really helping me in my spiritual journey? No, it's not making a difference. So we like to think of the psychic as kind of like going sideways. It's no more aware or developed than you, but if you're going to the divine, like you're saying, if you're going to the source, that's a different story. And that is a harder road to hoe because obviously you have to, in our work, we meditate and you have to raise your consciousness. We have to get into a higher state of awareness. My spiritual awakening was these experiences in higher states of awareness. I didn't know what was happening, but it was just so beautiful. I didn't want them to end, these moments. And to realize that this is something I could build, you know, with practice, it was just a remarkable revelation. I mean, it changed my whole life. I left the movies and all of that, and I pursued a whole different world because I couldn't go back to what the world I knew after having that experience.
That's amazing. So that was really your coming to God moment. Cause I know you were in like the film industry. And then can you tell us a little bit more about that moment and what happened for you when you decided I have to completely go down this other path?
Well, I was actually very excited about movies at the time. I'm a creative type and I'm a classical pianist and all this music. And it was just all kind of, and I still love it, right? I love movies. I still play the piano, although not like before. But, you know, I like to say movies is a jealous mistress. It wants all of you, you know, and especially if you want to really go the limit. You can't just sort of dabble in it. You have to put everything you got into it. But I always had this sort of visionary angle. I didn't want to just make movies. I wanted to make these visionary movies. So it was already kind of within me. And then when I actually put the pieces together, what was really happening and this metaphysical, I did try to bring the two together a little bit, but quite frankly, and some of my colleagues, you know, and friends were doing very well in the business. And I approached them with these ideas and they thought I was nuts. Just at that time, the industry just wasn't in that zone. So it didn't happen right away, but I did realize I had to make a choice. And eventually I decided, you know, I have to go in this all the way. But I didn't realize that, well, Barb and I ended up starting an organization, Spiritual Arts Institute. And I didn't realize that at the time I was so happy being her student that she was training me to teach. And you know, she's a generation older than me. And that she wanted me to continue the work as a teacher. So by that point, I was completely, you know, it was a done deal. You know, I mean, at some point, I'd love to make a spiritual movie. You know, I think about the Ten Commandments, Cecil B. DeMille. I know some people say, oh, that's a little corny. By the way, I still like that movie. But at the time, people would write to him and say, thank you, you helped me find God again.
Yeah.
So yes, movies could be that visionary thing if the people making them were in that spirit.
Yes, and they are not. That's a whole other episode.
I still have hope.
Hey, Chicago. Wayfair's big sale is on now. It's Way Day. For 3 days only, now through October 7th, get up to 80% off online and at the new Wayfair store at Eden's Plaza in Wilmette. Score furniture, cookware, holiday decor, and more. Way Day is the sale to stock up for the season ahead. Plus, enjoy family fun and in-store surprises. Shop Wayfair's big sale now through October 7th online and at the Wayfair store at Eden's Plaza in Wilmette.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I want to talk a little bit about sitting on the fence. A lot of people are kind of toggling between two worlds right now. And I think now more than ever, they need to move over.
Are you saying, there was a time where you could do that. Yeah. You know, there was a time where it's kind of like saying having your cake and eating it too.
Yeah.
But we're in a time of motion. We're in a time of action. And exactly what you're saying, we're in a time of decision. This is actually, I know we talk about the technological wonders that are happening right now, but there's a greater spiritual wonder that's happening right now. There's more people crying out for a greater understanding of life than ever before. So this is the time to get serious. Now, if you've had your awakening, whether it's a religious awakening, a metaphysical, whatever it is, of course, that's God knocking on your door. And you want to answer the call. Now, some people, there are some that are afraid to answer the call because, well, will it change my life? Of course, it's going to change your life. And it's an unknown. I don't know how it's going to change my life. But again, it's a little bit like falling in love. You don't know how it's going to end up, but you know, I have to go down this road. It's not really a choice. And our especially in the book, Heaven and Spiritual Evolution, we were really trying to encourage people to make their spiritual growth, their spiritual aspirations, a higher priority in their life. Put God first. Barbara would always say, here, one of her great teachings was, your only obligation is to God. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean you don't pay attention to your life. We're not saying go live like a monk or a nun. But we are saying, put God first in all things. So when it comes down to that choice, if you choose the divine first, everything else will fall into line, right? Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then everything else will fall into place. But you're right. It's hard for sometimes people to make that choice. And they're a little bit afraid. And there you want to just try to build up your courage and know also you're not doing it alone. You know, we often think, oh, I'm just me, myself, and I. No, you're not. There's a beautiful saying in the Talmud, for every blade of grass, there's an angel bending over saying, grow. Everything is attended to by the divine. We have to think of our life here as a cooperative effort.
I love that. And so if someone is currently maybe on the fence and they're in the New Age, but they're not incorporating God, what would some tangible things be that they could start implementing into their practices or ways that they can start to make God first?
Well, it's like a relationship. You have to spend time with the person you want to have a relationship with. So you just, first of all, you don't have to go along with the crowd. We teach a lot about the aura and spiritual energy in our meditations. And one lady, she was very caught up in the New Age stuff. And she literally said one time, you know, I love working with, you know, the spiritual energy and the aura, but why does Barbara have to bring in all this God stuff? Where do you think the light's coming from? Where do you think the energy is coming? It's not floating in the air, you know, it's coming from somewhere. So start by opening your heart to God. You don't even have to verbalize it to anybody else. You don't have to go there, but I would be careful of practices that just negate it or whatever. You know, the challenge with some of the New Age stuff is that because it's labeled spiritual, it doesn't make it so. But that's true in anything. I mean, there are people that are very, quote unquote, devout. When you look at their life, as Barbara would say, what's the point of going to church on Sunday and cheating your partners on Monday?
Yeah.
You know, that's not a spiritual life, even though you say, well, I'm in church every Sunday. So I'm a moth used to go to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's what you're doing that matters. You have to live that life when you've got that challenge at your job or in your relationship or with your children or your spouse or whatever, it's how you're handling what's happening in your life. That's the measure of your spiritual maturity.
Yes. And so how do we relate? So what are some of the metaphysical practices that you're teaching in your institute and how are they related to God? So like auras, for example, how can we include God in understanding our aura?
Right.
What does that look like?
You know, we just came out with the 25th anniversary edition of Change Your Aura, right? Our international bestseller. And one of the things we tried to do there is people had a very simplistic picture of what the aura is. Oh, you're a blue. How nice. I'm a green. You know, it's just like children talking, right? A little bit when you're talking like that. The aura is an individual expression of the universal life force. Like there's sunlight in the sky that's blessing us. God is blessing not just us, but all creation with the light of God. It's what's fueling all evolution at every conceivable level. So how we're drawing in that divine power and how we're expressing it is our auric field. So let's say in the aura, the color of love comes through as a deep rose pink. This is not just any love. This is the God love. This is a love that flows from God. So as that pink goes into our aura, if I express love to somebody genuinely, then I'm building that energy in my aura. But if I get angry or vindictive or whatever, I just shoot that energy out the window. To give you an example, there was a gentleman in one of our classes. He was a doctor. And he confessed, you know, we have these projects we give everybody. He said, well, you know, I don't show enough compassion for my patients. You know, I come, I see them, I see a lot every day in and out. And, you know, I sometimes think doctors see patients like Petri dishes, like the science experiments to figure out. They're not people. And he realized I've got to pay attention to them. Well, he started meditating with that deep rose pink. And then that's not enough, though. He has to go out and be compassionate, which he was. And he came back a couple of weeks later and said, I can't believe not only are my patients loving it, my practice is getting even better and busier because, you know, people are hearing about, well, he's got, you know, good bedside manners. But it's more than that. Now, I do want to make one other comment here. In our work, we don't just meditate. We do what are called meditative prayers. So there's a difference between meditation and prayer. Well, we have to think of them as two sides of the same coin. So prayer is what? Prayer is a petitioning. It's a reaching out to God. But we must be careful. Reaching out to God, not as a servant. God, give me this. God, I need that. Oh, God. You ever see the Jim Carrey movie where he was God for a day and he had the 8 million prayer emails and he answered in a second? You know, God is not a servant, right? We connect with God for the sheer joy and pleasure of connecting with God and being one. Then meditating is the act of receiving. So, for example, in our work, let's say if I felt like I didn't need more love, I would ask to receive the deep rose pink. It's a request. It's not a command. It's a prayer to the divine to receive that love. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you're 3 or 93. God hears every genuine prayer, even if it feels like God is not hearing our prayers at times. And then I would receive in that meditative state the deep rose pink. I would accept it in my auric field. And then I've got to go out and, again, live that love. So that's the practice I encourage, daily meditation, prayer with that meditation, not just being still, but getting into that prayerful state and in that receiving state, both.
Yeah, and I think where the New Age gets it a little wrong with meditation is it's about emptying and being empty, completely clearing your mind. But I feel like there is an intentionality, like you said, of, you know, asking for the specific feeling or in this instance, the color, or meditating on God's word or the feeling of God or the feeling of the Holy Spirit and having this divine focus on it rather than completely emptying out and seeing what happens.
Well, yeah. Well, there's a couple of things there. First of all, there's some people that follow some of the Buddhistic beliefs about emptying. Mm-hmm. There's a little misunderstanding what that means. Obviously, you're not emptying yourself, but you cannot fill a cup that's already full. So let's say I am sitting to meditate and I'm full of anger.
Right.
I hate this person for that. I'll never forgive him as long as I live. Well, how can God fill your cup if you're full of this anger? So yeah, you have to empty that out. You have to release that negativity. And the other thing we have to do, which is very hard, most people, when the two complaints I've heard about starting a meditative practice is, I can't concentrate. I can't focus my mind. Some people, they have the monkey mind. And it's just going a mile a minute. So yeah, you do have to learn to still the mind, because how can you hear God speak if you've got 1,000 voices going on in your head?
Mm-hmm.
So stilling, though, doesn't mean shutting the mind off. It means putting it in that receiving mode.
Yes, receiving.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the second coming and what you think that is and when it's coming.
Well, don't anybody that says they don't know what they're talking about, right?
No.
So let's not. Well, it's not a matter of guessing. All right. So this is a big question you're saying, because again, we follow the Kingdom of Light teachings and the teachings about the time of Christ and what's going on there. In its most basic form, the mission that was we called it a mission, that what Jesus started. And by the way, there were many, you know, he had more than 12. There was a whole major community that was working with him behind the scenes to build that movement. And people wonder, where was he part of the Essenes? Of course he was. The whole Essenian movement was preparing for the Messiah. It was a major, major effort going on at the time, but it's not finished. It's an unfinished story. And from what I've been told and what Barbara has shared, the New Jerusalem is already ready. But until humanity reaches a collective level, it's in our hands. They're ready for us. But let's say you and I could reach our individual, let's say, enlightenment if we dedicate ourselves to the task. But for humanity to reach its next level, it has to reach a sort of a critical mass level. And it's been a struggle. There's been periods of progress, periods of challenge. So we have to, you know, Gandhi used to say, be the change you want to see in the world, right? Don't just pray for change. Be the change yourself. So the more we prepare for it, then the more sooner that could come. But we are in a preparing stage. This century, the 21st, has remarkable similarities to the first century when, you know, the expectancy was there. They called Jesus an apocalyptic teacher because he was speaking, apocalypse meaning here, not the destruction, but the revelation, the timing of the, and people literally thought the time was at hand. Well, we know what happened with the destruction of Jerusalem and all the tragedy that followed with that. But our opportunities are here now, and it's more important than ever because the ascent of materialism is going to keep growing, but at the same time, there's going to be this greater spiritual movement. They're going to kind of run parallel for a while. But in the end, the materialists are going to get frustrated because they're not going to solve the mysteries of the universe with the way they're going. Even if we get the best AI machine in the world, even if we get the best quantum computer in the world, it is not going to solve the riddles of life. It will help us in things, but we have to solve the real. A machine isn't going to save our life. You know, we have to do our own attending and growing.
Yes.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
So do you think all of the darkness going on in the world right now and all the terrible things are all part of the plan to bring more people to God?
Well, in our point of view, and again, the inspiration we have received is a lot of people have fallen prey to what we call the doom and gloom scenario. Yes, there are serious problems in the world, but if you look at things broad stroke, and even statistically, quality of living over the last 200 years, it's vastly improved compared to that. The world is getting better, not worse. But we are in these growing pains right now. You know, when I started working with Barbara, she did call it the end of days. She said, we're in the end of days. And she would say, well, where's the venom of the scorpion? It's at the tail end of its tail. And she said, "This is the time where you are going to see ugly things coming up. But you've got to stay closer to God, closer to light than ever before. And she gave a beautiful analogy. Like, imagine you've got this wound, and it's festering, and it's infected, and, you know, it's bulging, and... Well, sometimes you got to what? You got to take a knife, you got to lance it, you got to let all that pus come out, and then you can dress the wound. Well, I hate to say it, we're a little bit of that pus releasing stage right now.
I think too. Yeah,
we are passing. It's not passing. As the Bible says, you know, 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it will not come nigh thee. So we don't want to lose the forest for the trees. When we see a dark cloud, we don't want to say the sky is falling. It's a dark cloud. That's the time you've got to be more faithful than ever, not just when the sun is shining.
What does your spiritual practice look like each day? How are you connecting to God every day?
Well, I meditate a lot every day. I do both. It is our foundational practice of all that we do. Of course, I teach a lot, so I'm immersed in it there. I study, we write, you know, we're writing another book right now on consciousness and spirituality. So right now, my life is completely immersed in it. And we just recommend, you know, whatever you do in your life, even if you're an accountant, that can be spiritual too, if you bring the spiritual into it and not say, what you don't want to do is say, this is my material life and this is my spiritual life. It's not like that. it's all spiritual, right? A house divided does not stand. So you've got to see everything going on in your life, even the most mundane, as part of spiritual life. They asked Saint Francis of Assisi one time, he was sweeping or doing something at the monastery. So, well, you know, they were frustrated with him about saying, so, well, if you died today, what would you do right now? So I'd finish sweeping. You know, you just got to keep on the track no matter what's going on. And then you also don't know how you're helping others by doing that. Sometimes, you know, we're the best example to another person by the what we're doing, not what we're saying. Words are cheap, but you watch how somebody actually lives their life and they see, wow, you're walking your talk, Everly. You're not just talking it. That's going to speak much louder than words, right? Parents know their children don't look so much at what they say, but they look at what they do. And when they see themselves and what their children are doing, they're like, oh my God, that's exactly what I'm going to be doing.
Do you have any like hacks or tricks? If you're, say you meditate in the morning and you spend a little bit more time in prayer throughout the day, and then you just get caught up and all of a sudden God feels really far from you. Do you have like...
Pause for a moment and reconnect. You don't have to go like, you know, here the Muslims have it right? They meditate throughout the day or pray.
Yeah.
But it can be in the middle of the meeting, prayer time.
Yeah.
Right? So because that, what is that saying? God, I'm putting you first. Mm-hmm. So even if you sometimes need something very quiet and minimal. Sorry about that. Quiet and minimal. I'll give you one example. I had to one time when I was still okay. At the beginning, I was still in the showbiz world, and I was doing we were doing a national or a commercial for a tourism commercial. I was the what they call the line producer, the guy that kind of makes sure everything is there that you need. Well, I walked into this meeting, and everybody was in a furor about God knows what, and they. I didn't cause it, but they suddenly turned to me and said, what are you going to do about it? Well, I had nothing smart to say, right? But I just remember, I just envisioned the divine light in me, that everything was centered. Actually, it comes through as an emerald green light. And literally within 5 minutes, things just cleared themselves out. And the executive director turned to me and said, what the heck just happened? How did this raging storm... in less than 10 minutes works itself out. And what was it? It was just by not reacting. So if you're feeling like you're getting caught in the maelstrom of the moment, just find your center, just silently. You don't have to say anything to anybody. But remember, God is in the midst of this right now. God is right here, right now. And then if you still feel upset afterwards, and of course we would recommend meditation and prayer, but remember, we're tested in the crucible of life. Not when we're in the sweetness of our home or the safety of where we feel comfortable with. It's when things are not going well. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's the ancient Hindu scripture. It's one of the most sacred scriptures in all India. And what does it take place? On a battlefield. And it's this Christ-like figure, Krishna, trying to convince the lead warrior, you got to fight the battle. I mean, what a strange idea, right? And the whole thing is that, but what the real story is, it's the battlefield of life. And what this Christ-like figure Krishna is teaching him is how to arm yourself for the challenges and opportunities that life are going to present to you. So don't buckle down. What do they say? When the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? So, okay, if you get knocked down by a curveball, okay, but then get back up again. Where they say, if you fall off your horse, you better get on it right away or you never ride a horse again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're going to be tested in life. It doesn't mean we're bad. It doesn't mean we're sinners. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means, like, even in school, you don't know how good you're doing until you're tested. And we'll be tested in life, not necessarily deliberately by the divine, but by life itself.
And I like to think when he's testing us, it's not to punish us or see if we're going to fail. It's like, are you ready for this next step? I have something really good for you. I just want to make sure you're like getting ready for it and that you're in this higher consciousness, in this higher state so that you can hold it. So it's not every test is not necessarily a punishment. It's bringing you further.
You know, yeah, no, it. everything is, God is a God of love. All right. So sometimes we do have tough tests we go through. That's part of life. But even then, there's an opportunity. So as long as you do kind of what you're saying, just to see it as the, you know, it's interesting. The Chinese symbol, you know, like they have these symbols, right? For crisis is the same symbol as opportunity. Is that interesting? So that which is a crisis can be an opportunity if you see it in that way. But if you say, oh, it's me, or all those kinds of things, then you're going to be in trouble.
Yes, very true. Oh, well, this has been amazing. I want to read all the books now, because I think especially our audience, you know, coming from the New Age and going, okay, maybe I need to look more into God, maybe I need to read the Bible. Obviously, the Bible's a little stale. You know, there's, you know, we need a little bit more of the magic. And I think having that connection where you're in the metaphysical space, which is, you know, there's a science to it. There's a spirituality to it, but there's also a science to it.
Absolutely. And may I say, you know, in our work, we were actually never New Age.
Yeah.
It was a fad that kind of came and went. Mm-hmm. We're part of the ancient practice of metaphysics. It's been around as long as humanity's been on Earth.
Wow.
So I want to confuse it with just fads that come and go. You know, this is not that. This is the time-honored tradition. It's making a resurgence now is what's important. And like you're saying, it can help bring fresh inspiration, right? And that what may appear stale, to realize what's really going on. And yes, we do need to re-understand things in today's world, because look, the more we're understanding the physical universe, it's a signpost to better understand the spiritual universe. We can't go backwards. We have to see things the way they really are. The Bible was never meant to be taken literal. You know, it was meant as a teaching tool, right? As a guiding tool, but to have the inner keys. Now, we're trying to rediscover those inner keys and discover more of them. What does God have to teach us today that God didn't teach us 2,000 years ago?
Yeah.
If there's a second coming, it means there's something more coming.
Well, I'm
ready for it too. Happy it came tomorrow.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Dimitri. Where can everyone find you, buy your books, find out about
at the Institute of Spiritual Arts Institute, spiritualarts.org. And our facility's in San Diego, but we've been doing online classes since 2006, long before the Zoom era. Yeah.
Beautiful. And we can buy your books at all the places. Amazing. Well, we will link you guys to all things, Dimitri, all things, all the books, the Institute, everything. So everyone, thank you so much for listening. And Dimitri, thank you so much for sharing all of your amazing, amazing knowledge. We're so grateful. And everyone have a really good day. Bye now.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.